Today begins Telework Week, in case you haven't heard. That's where federal employees are being encouraged to work from alternative sites. About 50,000 federal workers say they are going to take part. Gil Gordon is a telework expert and owner of Gil Gordon & Associates, which advises public and private sector organizations on telework. He joins us now with some perspective. Mr. Gordon, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so 50,000 people committing to telework. Is that a lot? Is it not enough? How does that rank?
Well, you know, it's both a lot and not enough. It's a lot in that the number is a good, healthy number, but in terms of a percentage of the federal workforce, of course, it's relatively small. But we know historically that those numbers in the federal service have been growing. So I think this is just kind of a symbolic group of people raising their hands to commit to this, but I'm quite certain that the number of people working remotely today and this week will be far greater.
Now, we have groups declaring telework weeks and so forth from time to time, but aren't we at the point where we shouldn't need a telework week? It should be part of people's operational regularity.
That's a great question, and the answer is yes, we probably actually need both. It is part of everybody's weekly routine. All you have to do is walk down the street and look at everybody checking their email and their voicemail and so on, no matter where they are. So we know that the concept of decentralizing the office is alive and well. That said, it never hurts to continue to promote a little bit, because we know that with any innovation, these things tend to be adopted in waves. We're well past the early adopter waves, but there's still quite a number of people who can begin to explore it more systematically, and I think that's what this kind of event really helps.
One thing about telework we've heard time and again is the management uneasiness with telework. That's been one of the biggest obstacles. From your experience, are managers getting more comfortable with the idea of employees working and being productive outside the office?
I think they are. Yeah, 100% of them, no, but many more, definitely, for three reasons. First of all, there's simply an aging process going on. Not that the managers are aging, but that the concept is becoming more well-entrenched, so it's less novel. Secondly, smart managers are realizing that in this era of doing more with less, they can achieve better results if they enable their people to work where they can add their most value. And the third reason is that the managers themselves are now taking part in this in a way that they never used to before. So it's very hard to say that they can do it themselves when they won't let their subordinates do it.
So when you do your consulting with federal agencies, what is it you talk about most? What do they most need to understand about this whole telework idea?
I think it's the same thing whether it's public, private, U.S., anywhere else. The key issue is what's in it for us. That is, how will this idea of enabling people to do their work in different locations in the right way allow them to provide better results, improve employee retention and satisfaction, and so on? You know, the ancillary benefits about traffic reduction and air pollution and so on are all wonderful and not to be minimized, but when you really strip everything else away, the manager always asks that question, what's in it for me? And that's the best question to ask, and that's what I help them answer.
Gil Gordon is president of Gil Gordon Associates.
Do you find that, obviously, the management resistance, we've heard about technology issues and cybersecurity issues. Is there one still kind of outlier of what can get agencies past that hump to say, okay, telework, I'm comfortable with it? I mean, if you look at the Patent and Trademark Office, for instance, they're well known as leaders when it comes to telework. They've gotten over that last hump. Is there a last hump that's still out there that you see?
Certainly there is. And sometimes that's just a matter of where people are on the adoption curve, as I mentioned before. But also, it's, frankly, a fear of the unknown. There's so much myth and misconception about this that managers fear that once they let a few people do it, everybody's going to do it 5 days a week. And in reality, this is never a full-time substitute for the office. So it's a matter of starting off in a well-managed, programmatic way, kind of dipping your toe in that water and finding out that the employees are not going to run amok and sit home and watch TV and drink beer all day, but they're actually going to do work that's as good, if not better, and as much, if not more, as they're able to do in the traditional office setting.
Mobility is not the same as telework, and telework is not the same as mobility, but mobility seems to be the growing phenomenon in so many work situations. Do you think that mobility will aid the furtherance of telework?
You know, we'll know that this whole concept has really arrived when we stop using the words telework and telecommuting, because it's going to be just all about work. When this concept started, it was at a time when virtually all the people who we call office workers had no choice but to do their office work in that place called the office. We're way beyond that now. There still is and always will be a place for the office. The technology that enables the mobility you're talking about continues to grow. But we'll always see a bit of distinction there. I think that the key is what I mentioned a few moments ago, that the manager really has to stop and say, where can this employee add the most value and get the best work done for coworkers, for taxpayers, and so on. In some cases, that will be in the office. In many cases, it will be making smart use of those mobile work tools that we are surrounded with today.
I read one story this morning, I think it was in Computer World, saying that Microsoft is expected to come out with a version of Office for the iPad. So that would seem to bring mobility and telework and all of that stuff right into one little thin device.
You know, I've been involved in this field since 1982, and with very, very few exceptions, there have never been technology stumbling blocks. Certainly, when we were dealing with 1,200 baud modems, it wasn't as much fun as it is today, but the technology was always there and just keeps getting better. An innovation like you're talking about, and many more out there, simply expands the number of people who can do more kinds of work away from the office. The key thing here to realize is that the software and hardware and telecommunications aside, there are some tasks that are very well suited to an office collaborative setting, and they will continue to be done, but more and more of them can be done almost anytime, anywhere, and the quality of the work and the timeliness and other performance measures will continue to show the benefits.
And very quickly, we tend to talk about skilled workers or managerial workers, but in the private sector, a lot of companies are putting their call center operators remotely in their homes because of broadband and the ability to deliver them the knowledge online they need to answer questions. Do you see that happening in the federal government anytime soon? Call center telework?
There's no reason why it can't. I think if you look at why it happens in the private sector, it's a matter of attracting and retaining good people and also providing customer service at hours when it might be hard to get people to come and sit in a physical call center. To the extent that the federal service has needs for those phones to be answered by members or taxpayers or whomever at 2 o'clock in the morning, then it certainly is feasible to be done there as it is in the private sector.